There is no trouble, no struggle, no trial, no problem, no challenge. There is nothing that is greater than my peace. My son said that he would give you his peace. He said, I leave it with you. That means that the peace of which he spoke was not available until he had completed his work here on earth. Which means that the peace he left is associated with my life in you. There's nothing you will ever face that is greater than my peace. My son said that the peace he gives is not the same kind of peace that the world gives. In the world, so many people determine that their lives have peace in the absence of problems. But in my kingdom, you can always have peace in the midst of the world's problems. The difference is what you want. There's nothing in my word wherein I have said that serving me means you will never face challenges. In fact, just the opposite is true. For my son did tell you that in this world you will have tribulation. In this world there will be challenging times. My son gave the example of the man that built his house upon the sand and the man who built his house upon my word. And if you recall in that story, the storms hit both. And the storms were severe, so severe that the house without a true foundation fell. But the house with the true foundation withstood the storm. If you believe that serving me means your life is going to be absent problems and challenges, you're wrong. And you need to stop listening to those who would teach you otherwise. My word says that in the midst of the challenges, you can still have peace. If you are seeking a change of circumstances and believing that such a change will produce the peace, then you're looking in the wrong direction. But if you will focus on me, you will find the peace that will guard your heart and mind through everything. For I have said in my word that in my presence is fullness of joy, and that I am the God of peace. I will minister my peace to you, but you must seek after me. Instead of always asking me, O God, make this go away, why not ask me, O Father, give me your wisdom for what is before me and your peace to make it through? For you see, not all problems are going to be changed overnight. Study my word and you will see this is true for all who serve me. If you sit at my feet, if you stay in my presence, my peace will automatically flow in your heart. And your mind will benefit from that peace. So come to me and receive what you need. For my grace is sufficient to provide an overflowing abundance of peace for your life. Please open to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. There's a verse, well, actually, it's about four verses here we want to look at to open with. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43, Jesus says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Where in the world did Jesus come up with that? Think. Where did he come up with that? How did he know that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks? You think that might have been revealed to him by the Father? Now, if that is a truth, which obviously it is, and since this truth was revealed to him by the Father, then would not this truth hold true about the Father? Likewise, would not this truth hold true about Satan? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, in another place, over in John, Jesus talks about Satan being the father of lies, a liar from the beginning. Therefore, out of the abundance of his heart would come forth what? A lie. And you know what struck me when Jesus made that statement that Satan was the father of lies? Suddenly I realized, until Satan told a lie had never been spoken. Well, where did he first lie? To all those other angels when he said, "I'll have a throne right up there with God," and so on and so forth. And it got him kicked out. And those other angels who believed his lie. Must have been a good lie, because he convinced them to follow him and to believe him. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, we use this passage a lot relative to us as believers and what we say. And it's true. You know, how many times have I said, just sit and listen to people talk. Ask questions and just let them ramble. You'll find out where they're coming from. They'll let you know. You don't have to interject much of anything. Just let them talk. And, you know, quite frankly, for me personally, I can't speak for anybody else, but I thoroughly enjoy sitting and listening to people talk in casual situations. I learn a lot from them. I learn more from them in a casual setting as they're talking than I do asking them direct questions. Because I'm a pastor. And people know that I'm a pastor. They know that I'm a minister. So when I ask questions, many times people color their answers according to what they think I want to hear. Even at that, if I let them talk long enough, you know, they start changing the colors. Well, here it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means out of the abundance of your heart and my heart, our mouth will speak. We can always clean it up. And I don't mean clean it up in the way of, stop using foul language. I mean, you know, that would apply. But I'm talking clean it up as far as Christian speak is concerned. We can always clean it up when we're around people. You know, and there are so many times I've heard, you know, folks, they'll be talking and then they'll say something and they know they shouldn't have said it. It's like they try to backtrack and correct, you know, what they say and all that. And on the inside, I'm chuckling. On the outside, I act like I didn't catch it. But anyway, out of the abundance of your heart, out of the abundance of my heart, our mouth speaks. Now, here's the kicker. As you live every day of your life, other than those times when you're trying to say the right thing in front of the right people, you're going to speak what's in you. And you can't stop it. I think about that. Jesus is telling you right here, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. There's nothing you can do about it except change the abundance of your heart. Because when you change the abundance of your heart, then what's going to happen is what you speak will then be different. This is true for us. But since this is a spiritual truth, That means this spiritual truth is something God's always known, and it's a principle that exists even for God Himself. So, we could say this. Out of the abundance of God's heart, His mouth speaks. Okay. Then what that means is, when God speaks, the only thing we're going to hear is what is in His heart. Well, what's in His heart? Well, we know purity, holiness, grace, you know, all of these things, perfection and so on. All of those things is true. But when it comes to what God says about us, what He speaks is going to come forth out of the abundance of His heart. I want you to look at another place here. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Take a look. Just one verse. Verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. Well, what does that mean? Well, relative to what we're looking at here tonight, out of the abundance of God's heart, His mouth speaks. There's no respect of persons with God. Therefore, it is out of the abundance of His heart that what He speaks over you will be the same thing He speaks over them, and that will be the same thing He speaks over me. And what He speaks over me will be the same thing He speaks over you. Now, granted, if you're not called to be a pastor, He's not going to speak pastor over you. We understand that. But the general essence of what He confesses over us is going to be the same for every single believer. He will not change. And another place over there in Malachi talks about, I'm God, I change not. So if He changes not, that means His heart is not changing. And if His heart is not changing, then His confession is not changing. And if His confession is not changing, that means He's the same yesterday, today, and forever relative to what He speaks over us, to us, and about us. We've heard a lot of sermons about our confession. Well, tonight, let's talk about God's confession. What does He say? Have you ever been through those times where you feel like God's nowhere to be found? Where God doesn't love you anymore? Where God's turned His back on you? On and on it goes. Well, is that what God has said? I'm going to walk you through some scriptures tonight, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on them, but we're going to be looking at a bunch of them. So start over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In this verse, chapter 13, verse 5, here's what it says. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, what is God's confession over us, over you? His confession is, Sue, I will never leave you or forsake you. Judy, I will never leave you or forsake you. Bob, I will never leave you or forsake you. That is His confession over you. This is what He speaks. You can argue with Him if you want. Well, I sure didn't feel you last week. And He's going to say, it's irrelevant what you feel, because My confession over you will not change. I will never leave you, and you put your name in there. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's what He confesses over us. Now look at another place. Turn to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, I guess this is one of those sermons where if you have those little tabby things to find the books, it helps. You can't use those in Bible drills, you know. That's cheating. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This is God's confession over you. He says, Kathy, I love you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I draw you to me. I love you with an everlasting love. Oh, but God, I don't feel like you love me. I love you with an everlasting love. Oh, but God, today's a bad day. I love you with an everlasting love. But God, look what I did. I love you with an everlasting love. You're not going to get him to change his confession. He's not going to change it. I'm God. I change not. You're not going to get him to change his confession. Who changes their confessions? We do. Devil's not going to change his confession. He's going to say, I hate you now. I hated you yesterday. I'm going to hate you tomorrow. I just hate you. Give me a chance. I'll kill you. I just don't like you. You're in his image. He kicked me out. I hate him. I hate you. Therefore, I hate you. He's not going to change his confession, but neither is God. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Satan will always lie. God will always truth. And there's no way around this. Look over in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And again, we're looking at what God confesses over us. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, again, turn this in. This is God's confession over you. He says, Lee, your sins and your iniquities, I will not remember them. And you can say, well, yeah, but God, you know, 15 years ago, He says, I will not remember them. Yeah, but God, 5 years ago, I will not remember them. Yes, but God, I will not remember them. Why are you trying to get me to remember what I said I won't? Why are you trying to help me drag you down? You're dragging yourself down. But you're not going to get me to be part and parcel of that. No, listen to me. Listen to me, Cindy. I love you with an everlasting love. I'm merciful to you. And your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. I do not remember them. But you're God. You know everything. Yeah, I'm God and you don't know how I work because I'm deity and you're not. I make a decision not to remember them. That's my decision. Well, if I don't get it. If you make a decision not to remember them, how do you know what it is you're not remembering? Right about then, God throws up his hands and says, where do you come up with this stuff? I will not remember them. It's not like he's got amnesia. What that means is, I will not recall them to remembrance and use them against you. Now, you're going to use them against yourself. You've done it before. You know you have. Other people will use them against you. But God says, I will not remember them. I will not. I choose not to remember them. This is God's confession over you. Oh, God, how many times have you repented for the same thing over and over again? 20 years later, you're still repenting for stuff you've repented, you know, every day for the last 20 years. And you go and you repent again, and it's almost like God is saying, what are you talking about? Well, you remember 20 years ago. Yeah, I remember 20 years ago you came to me and repented for something. I'm not too sure. What are you talking about? Did you do it again? Well, no, I didn't do it again. Well, then why are you here repenting again? I refuse to recall this. My confession over you is, it's forgotten. It's over and it's done. That is my confession over you. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Speaking of Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. God's confession over you is this: you are healed by my son's stripes. He says, Alice, you're healed by my son's stripes. Yeah, but, you know, it's this and it's that. He says, you're healed by my son's stripes. Yeah, but the doctor said, he said, I know what the doctor said. My confession over you is, you're healed by my son's stripes. And it's almost like sometimes we want to fight for the right to be sick. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. God's confession over you is you're healed regardless of what the doctors have diagnosed. God's confession over you is that you're healed no matter what you feel like. God's confession over you is that you're healed. You're not going to get God to confess, yeah, you're right, you're sicker than a dog. He's not going to do that. His confession is, by my son's stripes, you were healed. That is God's confession over you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, meaning God, hath made him, meaning Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the moment that I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I am the righteousness of God. This is God's confession over you. Judy, you are my righteousness. You're not just righteous, you are my righteousness. You are, see, if I were to say, you know, well, when God says you are my righteousness, that is a continual state of existence. You are my righteousness. Yeah, but the guy on television said there's none righteous, no, not one. God says, you are my righteousness. Yeah, but the preacher said that, you know, we're not supposed to call ourselves righteous. We're just dirty, rotten sinners. God says, are you born again? You say, I'm born again. He says, you are my righteousness. You are my righteousness. That's my confession over you. You are my righteousness. But God, I don't feel too righteous. He said, you back to the feelings again. You are my righteousness. And if somebody goes to God and says, God, do you know what Jason did? Do you know what he did? Do you know? God's going to say, I know what he did, but I also know this. Jason is my righteousness. When Satan comes knocking on the door as the accuser of the brethren, God says he can say whatever he wants, but what Satan confesses over you does not change what I confess over you. And my word stands the test of time. It's settled forever in heaven. My confession over you is you are my righteousness. You are my righteousness. I don't change my confession. Look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here we are, Christians, born again, you know, filled with the Holy Ghost. We can shout and sing with the best of them. Then we blow it. We make a terrible decision, commit sin. And we go to him and we say, oh, this is what I've done and I repent of it. And he says, okay, I forgive you and I cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He looks at you and he says, Joe, you're forgiven and you're cleansed. Yeah, but I still feel guilty. You're forgiven and you're cleansed. Yeah, but I don't feel like you're forgiven and you're cleansed. Yeah, but God, you're forgiven and you're cleansed. And everybody in your church can be coming against you and telling you that you're not forgiven. Everybody in your church can tell you God could never forgive you for what you've done. And let's say that you know, Ralph comes into the church and the guy just got out of prison for 15 years, after 15 years, because he had molested children. And he's on the sex offender list and everything else. But he comes in the church. Now God looks at Ralph, who got saved and filled the Holy Ghost and everything in prison. And now Ralph walks in this door. And God looks at Ralph and he says, Ralph, you're cleansed and you're forgiven. Everybody else in the church may tell him he's still going to hell and he can't be forgiven for that. And God is saying, excuse me, but if you're going to climb on Ralph's back about something that I forgave him over, then you're going to be taking this up with me because that's my son and you've now become my enemy and you are going to be fighting me. I will be resisting you. Don't you dare talk about my son that way. Ralph, you're forgiven and you're cleansed. And everybody can be screaming and yelling at Ralph and saying, you can't come to this church and you can't come to this church and you can't come to this church. And the guy's like a vagabond. He's trying to find some place where he can worship God. And the Christians who are supposed to be extending love to Ralph keep turning him away and keep coming against him and telling him he's no good and God doesn't love him. But God's up in heaven and he's saying, Ralph, you're forgiven and you're cleansed. You're forgiven and you're cleansed. You're forgiven and you're cleansed because of my son. That's God's confession over Ralph. That's God's confession over you. Every time you mess up and you repent, you confess it, you repent, like he's talking about here, God says you're forgiven and you're cleansed. There's no more stain. Praise God. You're forgiven and you're cleansed. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look here in verse 11. And it's talking about our past as sinners. And it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here's God's confession over you. You're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. And you've got churches. They're going to tell you that you have to earn your sanctification. You have to earn your justification. You've got churches going to tell you, yeah, you may be washed in the blood, but you're not sanctified yet. And God's saying, you know what? You're taking a look on the outside. I'm looking on the inside and I'm telling you, Susie, you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. That's my declaration over you. Now, whether you choose to accept it, that's something totally different. But my confession over you as Almighty God is you are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified. Justified for what? Justified for every promise I've made in my word. Justified for your full inheritance. Justified for everything. I say you're washed, you're justified, you're sanctified. Well, I don't feel too sanctified. How many times are we going to go to God and tell Him what we feel? You know exactly what I mean. You wake up in a bad mood and suddenly what? You lost? You know, you had a lousy day at work. And because you don't feel washed, cleansed, sanctified, justified, you're not? And God's up in heaven saying, you know what? You better be glad I don't live by your feelings about you. Or your life would be a mess. My confession over you, no matter what kind of a mood you're in, is this. You're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. That's what I call you. Look at another place, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Here's God's confession over you. He says, Sharon, I am for you. Nobody can be against you. Now, what that does not mean that nobody can have feelings against you. What he means is nobody can stand against you to stop you because I am for you. That is his confession over you. I say as God over you, I am for you. No one can be against you. I am for you. No one can be against you. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth is speaking. I am for you. No one can be against you. Now look at the very next verse, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God's confession over you is this. I did not spare my son. I delivered him up for you. Therefore, right along with him, I freely give you all things. Oh God, life is so hard. Life is a struggle. How come I don't have nothing? God says, I freely give you all things. Oh God, why is it I feel so empty on the inside? I freely give you all things. Oh God, why aren't you doing anything in my life? I freely give you all things. This is God's confession over us. What we have, what we possess, what we utilize in life is never going to change. God's confession over us, I freely give you all things. What that means is you don't have to worry about trying to figure out how much to bring, how much to do, what you have to perform in order to get Him to do something for you that He's already been confessing over you your whole life. Because of my Son, I freely give you all things. But I'm struggling. I freely give you all things. Look at in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Here is God's confession over you. He says, Jerry, sin does not have dominion over you. Sin cannot dominate your life. That's God's confession over you. Sin cannot control you. That is God's confession over you. And when you try to pull this, but I just couldn't help it, but I just don't know, God says sin can't control you. God is saying sin can't control you. Do you understand this? God is saying sin cannot control you. Sin cannot dominate you. Sin cannot rule your life. The only way it's going to be able to rule your life is if you come into agreement with it instead of with God. The moment you come into agreement with it, yeah, you're going to mess up and make excuses for it. But God's confession over you is sin cannot dominate your life. Sin cannot control you. And there's sin. Don't you know sin would love to? And sin saying, I want to get a stronghold in your life. I want to do this. But God is speaking, sin can't control you. Sin can't control you. And because God is speaking, sin can't control you. Sin can't control you. It can't. You have to be the one to embrace it. And he talks about that in Romans chapter 6. He says, don't yield your bodies as instruments unto sin. Why is that? Because that's the only way sin can control you. That's it. Don't yield your bodies to acts of unrighteousness. Because that's the only way sin can gain a stronghold, a foothold, a grip in your life. Because God has said sin cannot control you. It's impossible. Now look over in Psalm 23. And I want you to turn over to see this. Psalm chapter 23. And what I'm going to do is walk you through the 23rd Psalm from God's perspective. And this is what God is saying over you. Beginning in verse 1. I am your shepherd, you shall not want. I make you lie down in green pastures. I lead you beside the still waters. I restore your soul. I lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. Though you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall have no fear of evil, for I am with you. My rod and my staff comfort you. I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I anoint your head with oil, and your cup runneth over. Goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, and you dwell in my house forever. That's God's confession over you. Praise God. I want to show you another one. Turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And you can, again, just follow along in this psalm as I read this as a type of God's confession over us as His children. Psalm 91, beginning in verse 1. As you dwell with me in my secret place, you abide under my shadow. I am your refuge and your fortress. I am your trustworthy God. I deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. You are covered with my feathers and find hope under my wings. My truth is your shield and buckler. You are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Your eyes shall see the reward of judgment I execute against the wicked one. I am the Lord your refuge. As the Most High, I am your habitation. No evil shall overwhelm you, neither shall any plague come near your home. I give my angels charge over you to keep you in all you do. They shall watch over you and protect you with their hands to keep you from destruction. By me you trample underfoot the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon, and all the hordes of the enemy are under your feet. As you set your love on me and desire to know my name, I deliver you. I raise you up in my presence. I answer you when you call me. I am always with you, even in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. I bless you with long life and satisfy you as I meet your needs according to my riches and glory by my Son. I will openly demonstrate to you the fullness of your salvation. This is God's confession over us. And you're not going to get Him to change it. Because this is the abundance of His heart. Therefore, He can't speak anything but. Glory to God. Now look at another place. Look in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and look here, verse 11. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void unto me." It shall not return unto me void. It's not an empty word. It's a life confession. "But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And so God, throughout His Word, is making these confessions over us. He keeps speaking these things over us. Go through the Psalms. Turn these things into God's confession over you. When you see things in the New Testament about who we are in Christ, turn them into God's confession over you. We turn them into our confessions over ourselves, but look at it a little bit differently. Look at it as though God Himself is in heaven speaking directly to you eye to eye, and He is confessing these things over your life. Now look over in Amos. Amos chapter 3. One of those little bitty books that might take you half an hour to find. I hope not. Amos chapter 3. Now look in verse 3. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So on the one hand, we have God saying, "You are my righteousness. You are healed by my Son. I am your shepherd. I prepare a table before you." I mean, all these things that we've read, here's God, He's making these confessions over you. Now, what are you saying about you? Because if your confession about you, if what you speak about you does not line up with what God is confessing over you, then the two of you are not agreed. Now, it doesn't mean He doesn't love you. Don't misunderstand. But what it means is, you know that poem, you know, two roads diverge in a yellow wood or something like that. Okay, well, you don't remember that one. All right, well, Google it. Here's God. It's like Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Here's God over here. God's on one side, and He's making a confession over you. His confession's not going to change, ever. We're over here. When we're in a good mood, "I am the righteousness of God. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When we're in a bad mood, I'm telling you, I've had it up to, I'm sick and tired of all this junk. I can't get away from any of these problems. They're all around me. I'm tired of feeling this way. I wake up aching and hurting and sick and miserable and smelly every day of my life. But when we have a good day, I am the righteousness of God. We stand in agreement with Him. Thing is, God's not the one moving. And when we start making, when we make confessions that line up with what God is saying, we're in agreement with Him. But when we get over here and we start speaking differently, there's nothing good about my life. You know how you talk about you, these things you say, when you get frustrated and angry and upset, down in the dumps, etc., etc. You know what's happening? It's at times like that you find out what's really in the abundance of your heart. Because if the abundance of your heart was already God's confessions over you, then even on the lousy days, you're not going to spend your day confessing opposite. Therefore, what that means is, much of what you confess when you're over here on the God side of confession is being confessed out of your emotions and what you've been trained to say. But it's not the abundance of your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Far too many Christians are double-minded. I line up with God's confession on Sundays, but come Monday, it's my confession. And we don't want anybody correcting us. We don't want anybody addressing the issue of our confession. And we don't want God to convict us over it either. Well, that's just the way I feel. Might as well say it. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And now everybody else knows where you're coming from. I know everybody gets mad and spouts off. I understand. But even when you get mad, you can get to the place to where you're not spouting off as much. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God's confession over us is never going to change, ever. Ever. Every time you go to Him, He's going to keep calling you His righteousness. When you make a decision that you just can't take it anymore and you finally go boldly before the throne of grace, He says, "Hey, righteousness, how you doing?" And you know, we get sarcastic, very funny. Don't you know what I'm going through? He says, "Yeah, that's why the throne's available to you. By the way, by my son's stripes you were healed. By the way, I am your shepherd, you shall not want. By the way," and he'll just start, he just rather, you don't understand what I mean. Not literally, but you understand the concept. He will just continue to speak over you what you are, what He said out of the abundance of His heart. And it's never going to change. One of the reasons His confessions don't manifest in our lives the way that we've read them here tonight is because He cannot control us. We have to control we. He'll confess it all day long. But if we don't make His confessions the abundance of our heart, you know, even right now, if it's not, at least begin making the effort, then we're not in agreement with Him. And that's why His confession, I mean, He says, you know, what I speak won't return unto me void. Well, that's right, it won't. Because when I grab a hold of what you said and I apply it to me and I make it the abundance of my heart, it will bear the fruit of what it is. But until I grab a hold of it and make it the abundance of my heart, it's no telling what's going to come out of my mouth. Well, maybe it is telling. But every one of you, you know what I'm talking about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Word of God, right here. This is the abundance of His heart. And this is what He speaks over us. There's a place in Scripture where it talks about His banner over me is love. His confession is, my banner over you is love. You are covered with the banner of my love. You can't get him to change. He's never going to change. Thank God he doesn't. And thank God he won't come into agreement with our confessions unless they're his. I like the idea of God confessing over me. Now I've got to make it the abundance of my heart so that when I speak, he and I are in agreement and his word will then not return void in my life. It will accomplish everything he sent it forth to accomplish.